There can be no doubt that the most important question for anyone is, how can I be saved? And this question has become even more pressing in the light of the end of all hope beginning on May 21, 2011. Time is quickly running out, so I will endeavor in this mini-study to reveal the most important bare-bone things when it comes to salvation. My text is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27, where we read about the rich man. Quote, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and said unto his disciples, How hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answers again, and says unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, says, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. How can I be saved? That is what this man asked Jesus. He said, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Notice that the focus of this man was, what can I do? What good work, what good something can I do to be saved? This man believed there was something he could do, or some good work which could be done to obtain eternal life. So Jesus responded to him, quote, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Jesus here wants to take the focus off of man or the flesh and onto God. So he says, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Even though Jesus never stopped being God himself in the flesh, he wanted this man to look beyond the flesh and see that only God is truly good. His requirements of goodness go far beyond what human sinful flesh is even capable of. So, quote, Why do you call me good, as a man that is? There is none good but one, that is God. End quote. On the other hand, this man believed that the flesh, even his, could somehow be good enough to get to heaven. So Jesus stoops to his level, and it is like he says, Okay, if you think that you can do something good enough to get to heaven, then here's what you and anyone else like you must do. You must obey the law to be saved. Quote, Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor thy mother and father. End quote. This is the way to heaven if you think that you can do something to get there. And in response, the man then says, quote, all these things I have observed or done from my youth. End quote. Did he really? Of course not. For the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, quote, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, that is our good deeds, are as filthy rags, end quote. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, we read, quote, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, end quote. And again, quote, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Can you imagine standing before the perfect holy God and saying, quote, all these things I have observed from my youth? Do you see how absurd that is? Yes, this man was deceived by his own heart into believing he could actually do something to inherit eternal life. And how many of us are like this man? We somehow think that we can do this or that our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. So this is why we can inherit eternal life. But this is not the case. It is not true. God's standards of goodness are so far above ours that we couldn't even begin to meet them. Nevertheless, God still holds the entire human race to these high standards because God first created the human race to be able to walk in His commandments perfectly. But they chose to rebel, beginning with Adam and Eve, which resulted in humankind's plunge into sin and the fallen state in which we each are now born. This fallen state is far, far below the standards of God. Even when we do our best, we still fall far short of what God originally intended, which makes it impossible for us to do anything perfect enough that we might go to heaven. In fact, God's standards are so high that Scripture says, quote, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. James chapter 2, verse 10. And there is no person who has not offended, quote, for in many things we offend all. James chapter 3, verse 2. So we cannot possibly earn our way or do something good enough to get to heaven. Perish the thought. The question now arises once again. If we can do nothing to save ourselves, then how can we be saved? This is what Jesus' disciples asked in relationship to the rich man after Jesus said, quote, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, end quote. Jesus' disciples then asked, quote, who then can be saved? I mean, if this rich man, who was moral, outstanding and rich, who seemed to have everything going for him, could not be saved, quote, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, says, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible, end quote. In other words, you cannot save yourself, and this rich man could not save himself, but God can, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, quote, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can do nothing to be saved, for it is the gift of God and not of works, or anything that we can do. But it does also say that we are, quote, saved by grace through faith, end quote. So does this mean that it is our faith or belief in Jesus Christ that can save us? It sure seems to say that in this passage, and there are many other passages which seem to teach the same thing. For instance, we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, quote, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, that is, have faith, in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, end quote. Or, again, after the jailer released Paul and Silas out of jail, the jailer said, quote, sirs, what must I do to be saved, end quote. And they said, quote, believe, or have faith, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 31. And there are many passages which either directly or indirectly would answer the question, how can I be saved, with the answer, by believing or having faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This is the most common teaching in the Christian churches of our day. Namely, believe and you will be saved. But what they fail to realize is that faith or belief or believing is a work or good deed in itself, which cannot therefore save anyone. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, quote, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, end quote. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, it speaks of, quote, the work of faith with power, end quote. So we must acknowledge that faith or believing is a work because God in the Bible says it is. If you will remember, we just read, he calls the work of the Thessalonians a work of faith. Twice in 1 Thessalonians 1 and then 2 Thessalonians 1 as well. But we had already concluded that we could not be saved by works or good deeds. So we are forced right back to the same question. Then how can I be saved? And the answer must be what Jesus already told us and left us with. Quote, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. End quote. We cannot be saved by doing or thinking something, and this includes believing. But we can be saved by God, and by God alone, and this is the entire point. True salvation is only possible by the hand of God alone. So now that we are at the complete mercy of God alone, and there's nothing we can do, think, or believe to save ourselves, or even help to save ourselves, what should our attitude be? Well, it should be in humble recognition of this, which should force us to cry out to God over and over again that he might have mercy on us. It is completely in his hands of decision alone. I am reminded of the account of the two blind men, quote, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace, but they cried all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will you that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes might be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." End quote. We should be, you see, like these blind men who continued to cry out for mercy and even continued to do so when, quote, "the multitude rebuked them," end quote. This shows how persistent and focused they were upon seeking the mercy of Jesus. Notice that it was Jesus alone who had compassion and gave them their sight back. This is exactly how we must be saved. Jesus must touch us and save us. There is nothing that we can do, think, or believe, but we can realize this, and so like these blind beggars, we can plead for mercy until God saves us. And when God does save us, and if he saves us, for it is entirely his decision and not ours at all, we will be greatly changed. These blind men receive their sight back, but we will receive a new resurrected soul. The Bible speaks of this as being born from above or born again. John chapter 3, verse 7. If we are born again, which we must, the scripture says, or we will never see the kingdom of God, we will be a new creation made after the likeness of Jesus Christ himself, and will have an intense desire to study and obey the Bible just as a newborn infant desires strongly to suck from its mother's milk. This all brings us back to the rich man who was told by Jesus, quote, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." End quote. Jesus is not here saying that by doing this that the rich man would be saved. For if you will remember, we cannot do, think, or believe anything to be saved. But Jesus said this because I think he was in the process and going to save this man, but wanted to eliminate all hindrances from his life. That is why the scripture says, quote, "Jesus, beholding him, loved him." The question I have for you is this: are you loved by the Lord Jesus Christ? You cannot earn, do, or think anything to get his love, and you cannot believe to get his love either. But you can cry out for mercy, you can pray for mercy, you can beg for mercy. Perhaps, just perhaps, God will save you too. Scripture says, quote, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Psalm 51, verse 17. May God, according to his will, shine Jesus Christ, the one and only God, into your soul.